All right, a pleasure to be back with you. Bruce Jenkins joins us in this Father's Day morning. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Happy to be a father of three, and it's a beautiful day on the coast, so all good.
I know, it's a special day for you and the family, and we celebrate it every year. Well, Bruce, you said it yesterday, the Giants are starting to look like last year, and boy, it is coming together. It's the bullpen coming together. And they love that platoon. Boy, and when they bring a righty in and you flip it to the lefties, they're a very dangerous team.
Yeah, it doesn't get any more Giants than Austin Slater just hitting a dead center home run. Just really impressive. And the next time up, they pinch hit for him. and it works with Yaz, right? He pinch hits and hits a sacrifice fly to give him a 5-4 lead. That's very Giants, and the players understand that, and they have an awful lot of depth for these kinds of things. I mean, we know they don't have the Padres talent or the Dodgers talent, but they've got a lot of guys. I mean, just the fact that they're wondering, can Luis Gonzalez stay on this roster, which he has to, in my opinion. But they've got all these guys that they can fit in. Their mid-game decisions can be really interesting and really influential, and more often than not, they work. So it does. It's very reminiscent of last year.
Yeah, they're very good at it. And when Lamont Wade comes back, I don't even know what they're going to do at that point with him, because Gonzalez is not going anywhere, as you say. So yeah. That's going to be interesting too. But Bruce, you said it yesterday, and we agreed. Duvall has turned the corner. This is now a premier closer, and I'll tell you something. McGee is right behind him. And Brebbia, and you give them a lead after six, it's over.
It's really terrific. Yeah, Duvall, there's no question. He's just got command of the proceedings now, and they use him correctly. They don't overwork him, but he's got the great slider, his fastball. I think he's relying on it more and more. So you don't know what's coming from him. And McGee was a closer by trade, and that takes a special kind of mentality. But he comes in the eighth inning now. He looked really good yesterday, and he could definitely close. I mean, you can't haul Duvall out there in four straight one run games. So that's a good option. And, you can't rule out Tyler Rogers either. So the bullpen is really a strength right now.
Yeah. Well, they rolled the dice yesterday. It was interesting putting Belt in there to hit for the DH, who was Wins, who is the backup catcher. And, you know the deal. Casale was the only catcher who was on the roster now, other than the emergency catcher, which Kapler said could be him. So they pull Wins for Belt, and Belt walks, and of course that's part of the big rally, and it was a great move. But then Casale gets hit on the knee and goes down like a boxer, getting hit on the jaw. And you're saying, wow. And they rolled the dice with it, and they came out fine.
Yeah, that could have not worked out so well. I mean, people probably don't realize Casale's got to be really hurting, especially right then. He's working on a hamstring that he doesn't want to tear. Then he takes a shot on the knee, and who knows what else you get behind the plate. The guy's a real competitor. Hates to come out of the game, and yesterday him coming out would have been very awkward. I think you have to be careful when you yank your backup catcher. You've got to have a guy there as long as you possibly can, because if the catcher gets hurt, and next thing you're throwing who you throw back there. Maybe you do throw Kapler in there.
Yeah, Estrada. He went down like Bobo Olsen, and you can look that one up. Old boxer. Boy, well, yesterday I mentioned Howard Bryant's coming on after our segment here on his new book, Ricky. The story of the American legend, and just a fabulous book. And I'd love to get your recollections of Ricky Henderson, because Howard's going to talk quite a bit about the book.
Yeah, well, Howard is one of my favorites. Just a great writer, very perceptive, and a really good guy. I'm anxious to read that. But I was covering the team when he came up, and you hear about him, what he's doing in the minor leagues, and mostly for his speed. But as the years went on, he became such a power hitter. He almost hit 300 homers, right? I mean, that's just stunning. He's the greatest leadoff man in the history of the game. I mean, mm-hmm. If you're putting together a team, I don't know, maybe a leadoff with Jackie Robinson, or Pete Rose. I don't know. But just in terms of in terms of the stats, the numbers, you know, the facts of the matter, he's the greatest that's ever been. And out in left field, he was not a disgrace. He was one of those guys, you know, a right-hand hitter with a lefty arm. And when it came to running down a ball down the left field line and wheeling and making a throw, he was one of the best at that. And that really comes in handy for keeping runners on the bases, for taking an extra base. And as a base stealer, you know, I was there for all of his stolen bases when he set the record, and I kept charts every day on who was catching and everything I could on that. There wasn't a right-handed pitcher alive or dead who could stop him from stealing second. He was just over. He had a little trouble with lefties. You know, lefties can kind of freeze you, and sometimes he got a little confused. After a while, nobody could stop him. But with a right-hander on the mound, it was just over. His 0-60 speed was really stunning. Just boom, he's 60 miles an hour with two steps. And you know, a lot of head first slides, but his body was like a rock. You couldn't hurt him. You know, I think he played some football too. I mean, he's just a real stud. And the power was astounding. I'll never forget game four of the 89 World Series. You know, we've had the earthquake, and now the A's are back in charge. They're up 3-0. They're a candlestick. It's game four. And Ricky leads off with what looked like a 9-iron to left field, and it drops on the grass behind the fence. We're like, oh my God, you know, this guy and this team. You know, I just have so many good memories of him, and a real special talent.
Well, he was motivated by money. He wanted to make money in the game, and that was a big part of him. He was a great high school athlete, which Howard goes through the history of. Ricky is a high school athlete. He was amazing as a football player. Mm-hmm. But he spoke in third person quite a bit. It's kind of, you know, if they threw over too many times to first base, J.T. Snows told the story, and Ricky would say, well, hey, Ricky ain't going. Stop throwing over. And then if they kept throwing over, he'd say, Ricky's going. Goodbye.
Yeah, he always wanted to check in with Ricky to see what's going on with Ricky, and he'd tell you exactly that way. Ricky's feeling good today. Watch out.
Yeah. And he would steal the next base. And then, you know, when he left the Yankees, he was not considered a winner with the Yankees, and a team that had Winfield and Mattingly and all that, and they blame Ricky. And he was traded back to the A's, but he almost went to the Giants, which Howard has in the book. And there was a deal with Scott Gareltz coming to the Yankees, and the Yankees approved it, but Ricky wouldn't approve it. And Ricky said, Ricky ain't going. Ricky doesn't play in the National League. Ricky doesn't hit fifth. And that was the end of the deal, and that's how he ended up back with the A's at that point. And he was very frugal with money. And as Bob Alejo said, the trainer for the A's, the only time Ricky, you know, let go of a check is when he wanted to put it in his other hand. So it's a great book.
I can't imagine him wanting to play at Candlestick, you know, sitting out there with the hot dog wrappers blowing up against him. And he was a style master, you know, and he wanted the proper setting. I was surprised it didn't work out with the Yanks, because that's an awfully big stage. But, you know, his career, if you study the numbers, you know he's great, but you look at the numbers, you're just like, good grief, you know.
2,000 walks, 2,000 runs, 3,000 hits, and 1,400 stolen bases. You can combine Brock and Reigns, and maybe you don't even get there. So, amazing. I'm glad that we could touch on it. You will love the book. You'll love it.
I'm sure I will, yeah.
Howard did a great job. Bruce, as we wrap it up, Giants go for the sweep today. Then it's on to Atlanta, and they get Max Fried tomorrow. I wonder if we'll see the Yerminator. Yerman Mercedes.
Interesting pickup there.
Well, it's like fantasy football for Farhan. You know, everyone else is having breakfast, and this guy is working his team, you know.
Yeah.
And he picks up this Mercedes who crushes lefties, and he's been hurt, and here he is, and they face Max Fried tomorrow. Maybe he'll be on the roster for one day tomorrow.
Boy, you never know. I mean, the left side of the plate's looking so good now, and you know they could use a bolstering of from the right side if they have room for him. I don't know, but he's not a young guy. This guy spent 10 years in the minors, and he finally got a chance with the White Sox. he got involved in that big deal with La Russa.
Right.
Last year, you know, he's up and he's hitting 358, and he came out of the gate like 12-for-18, and now it's May, and they're in a blowout game. There's a position player on the mound, and it goes to 3-0. And Mercedes goes, I'm hacking here. I've been waiting 10 years to get in the big leagues, and he hits it out, and La Russa goes crazy.
Yep.
And you know, it became a big deal. You know, he has no clue of what a mistake. And I think, you know, in the clubhouse, a lot of the White Sox guys are going, hey, don't worry about it, man. Go up there hacking. It's a new day. Those old school rules don't apply today. You saw what Tatis did, right? That was a big deal when he did that. But the guy can definitely hit. He had some big years in the minors. He had a big year in the Baltimore organization, another one with the White Sox. So the Yerminator, I'd just love to see him anywhere at any time. I'm sure we will.
Well, you may see him tomorrow against Max Fried. And
yeah.
then he'll be gone after that when DeSclafani becomes active. Yeah, it's fantasy baseball with Farhan, and he's well ahead of everybody else in the league. And that's why this team is doing so well. Boy, Bruce, great to have you on this morning, and I apologize for it being short, but we've got Howard coming up, and then, of course, the game this morning is early at 10:35. So appreciate it, and love the day, and enjoy yourself.
Thanks a lot. Have fun talking to Howard. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Bruce. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up. Howard Bryan will join us next right here on the Sports Leader.